This is the Raptors Abroad podcast. What up, y'all? It's your boy Sam. This is the Raptors Abroad podcast, and it is time to break down game 41 of the Toronto Raptors 2014-2015 NBA season. We're halfway through, ladies and gentlemen. There's 82 games in the schedule. This is game 41. I am fired up. The Raptors have been slumping. Dropped 7 of 9, I believe, which is not what we have been accustomed to for the first 30-plus games of this season. So hoping the Raptors are going to be able to right the ship on the road in Milwaukee. So the Bucks, fresh back from my city, just recently played a game in London against the Knicks. No, I didn't go. And I normally do go. This is the first year that in several years that I didn't go to the NBA in London. I don't like to talk about it that much because I did watch the Raptors lose to the Nets two games in a row, one of them in double overtime. So happy I got to see them, but painful to see those losses. A few years back, but they still sting. And this one escaped me. I don't know why. Usually I get an alert or I'm on top of that, but I wasn't on top of it. And the tickets remaining were pretty weak. And to be honest, I have a pretty sweet Milwaukee Bucks hookup. Or at least I thought I did. But homie did not reach out. You know who you are. I didn't, in fairness, I didn't really realize till late, so I didn't make a request. But, I got family who's tight with the ownership. I'm talking his boys, who I love, so they're like my boys. But there were ball boys recently, and, yeah, they're down. They're down with that squad. So, yeah, I probably should have got the hookup. Probably should have asked for that. But, regardless... We're not here to talk about that London game in which the Bucks absolutely thrashed the Knicks. We're here to talk about the T-Raps. All right, so the Raptors, 26-14, coming off a couple of painful losses. I've done podcasts on those. Don't feel like going over it now. They hurt. So let's talk about the Bucks then. 21-19. So not a terrible record. Jason Kidd doing a good job with a fairly young squad of, in my estimation, some extremely talented players. Most notably, the Greek freak, Giannis Antetokounmpo. I'm probably not saying that right, but dude's got some potential. I mean, he's already good, but he's got some serious potential if he works it out. And I'm sure we've talked about it before, but not that different from our boy Bruno Caboclo. Probably has a little bit more game at this point, but we're hoping that Bruno's going to have some game like the Greek freak. So, yeah, he's dude's got some skills, and he's not the only one on the Bucks with some skills. There's a bunch of decent players out there, as you will hear about in this podcast. All right, so before the game, check it. Grevis Vasquez in the starting lineup for T-Ross, and T-Ross isn't hurt. He's just sitting. Dwayne Casey decides that T-Ross is going to ride the pine to start this ball game out after putting up a donut in the last ball game. So, T-Ross sitting it out to start, and I believe he was benched for the whole second half of the last game. He has been somewhat ineffective. I didn't realize it was going to lead to a benching, but hey, that's why I'm not an NBA coach, I guess. Alright, so a little nervous about the first quarter, and for good reason. I hear the broadcasters for the Bucks say that the Raptors are the second worst team in the league in first quarter points allowed. Nearly 27 a game. Brutal. And I'll tell you, I think if that average was of the last 10 games, it would probably be 30+. I was actually a bit surprised that it was only 27, the way that we've been starting out ball games lately. So hoping for a different start in this one. Raptors wearing the black and red jerseys, which I love. I think it's the best jersey in basketball. And I know I've mentioned it before. We've got a new logo coming out next year, which isn't a bad logo. I don't dislike it. It's nice. I just wish that it wasn't exactly the same as the Brooklyn Nets logo. That would be nice. Little variation. And if it ain't broke, I don't know why we're trying to fix it. The Raptor logo is already sweet, but hopefully they'll keep the old one in the mix as well. I'm not going to miss the dyno that much. It's nice for nostalgia, but not the prettiest thing to look at. All right, so let's get into this ball game. First quarter, we go. First half of this entire quarter is brutal. The D is absolutely porous, to say the least. Bucks getting pretty much whatever they wanted. They weren't on fire, though. They were just getting open looks. And for the Raptors on offense, all their points are coming off of one-on-one isolation plays or offensive rebounds. And thanks to Jonas, he had a couple of them for putbacks. Otherwise, the Raptors were not going to be on the board at all. He was carrying us, and halfway through, it is 13-12 for the Bucks. Raptors lucky to be in that position. All right, so 4:35 mark we go. Terrence Ross. That's right, I know I said he was on the bench, but didn't take long. I guess it was just a wake-up call, but the five-minute mark, he checked in, and just 25 seconds later, he steps up and hits his first shot attempt of the game, which ties it up with a nice little floater from about 12 feet away. Nice work from T. Ross, not launching a three and hurting his confidence early, but getting in close and trying a nice easy one. 35 seconds later, 4 minute mark, Jonas Valanciunas getting his third offensive rebound and third putback of the quarter. That gave him 8. So JV doing work. The rest of the team, though, actually not just the rest of the team, JV included. In fact, he was one of the bigger culprits with a bunch of turnovers. Late in the quarter, when they had chances to take the lead, Lou Williams, too, with a couple of really, really rough ones late when it was like a one-point game. And Lou Williams also put up an air ball at the buzzer from three, which we are definitely not used to seeing from him. That was an attempt to tie up the ball game, which was obviously unsuccessful. So the Bucks with a three-point lead after one quarter, 25-22. And my main assessment of that first quarter was that the Raptors were just not playing like a team on offense. Just unable to get any penetration, too much isolation, and then the defense was kind of a similar story. Not good help, leaving men on an island, and then when there was penetration, everything just fell apart. So it wasn't looking good. I realize I'm being harsh, but if you watched the quarter, you'd see the Bucks missed a lot of shots that a better team would have made. And the Bucks also, by the way, playing without Larry Sanders, who's on a, I don't know, I think it's suspended for smoking weed, which has got to be the lamest thing I've ever heard of in my life. But whatever, that's an exaggeration. I've definitely heard of lamer things, but it's lame that a player can get a 10-game suspension for smoking weed, but he can go out and get drunk every single night and no suspension. Pretty lame. All right, back to basketball. Second quarter we go. Tupat, who you will be hearing plenty of this podcast. He had a great game. Tupat opens a quarter by rebounding his own miss from shooting a three and then drives and hits a floater from about 8 feet away. And the reason I'm highlighting this play is because it is such a satisfying feeling if you play basketball. Put up a three ball, and if you're on, you know that it's short, and you know where it's going to come off, and when it all comes into play, and you read that, and you break to the spot, and the ball comes off the rim just as you thought it would, and it comes right to your hands, I'll tell you, that shooting motion of putting it up and in, it's almost automatic. I mean, you don't even have to think about it. It's almost like you're watching it as a spectator. One of those reflex reactions, just grab that ball and put it right back in. And I just love to see it. It got me fired up. It really did. Maybe go into the next room and grab my ball so that I had to, which I tend to do when I'm watching games. I like holding a ball. I mean, I'm sure I'm not alone in that. And if you've never done it, try it. Gets you really into it. If you have a basketball in your hand while you're watching a basketball game, that's a little life pro tip there from me. That'll definitely enhance your experience a little bit. I even put on the kit, by the way. I should probably post a picture of it, but I've got all the Raptors gear. Yeah, you've seen a picture of it on the podcast logo. That's actually the back of my jersey. The number 95 Let's Go Raps shooting jersey. I've got the home and away. I got the shooting pants. Don't have the shorts anymore. But I'm down. As you may have guessed. All right. Back to the game action. Grevis Vasquez. So after the beautiful play by Tupat, Grevis Vasquez on the next possession follows that up with a floater, and the Raptors have their first lead of the ball game, 26-25. However, former Raptor Jared Bayless, showing some skills, he comes back with two really tough floaters. The second one was a rainbow, and he got the foul. And I don't dislike Jared Bayless. I think he didn't have great performances with the Raptors consistently, but he did have a few. And you never fault the guy for effort. He always looks like he's going hard out there. So props to Jared Bayless. And with that, the Bucks took a three-point lead, 33-30, with 9 minutes and 15 seconds left in the half. All right, but Bayless, sorry, bro. I can't keep singing your praises. You're not a Raptor anymore. And at the 7:46 mark, he makes a mistake. He reaches, and Lou Williams teaches by elevating through his arm and putting up a three ball, which he misses, but draws 3 free throws. And, I mean, it's just ridiculous how good he is at that. If you remember the last game, Lou Williams drew 6 free throws off of 2 fouls from him shooting a 3 in the fourth quarter. I mean, dude, he's money from that. He'll definitely get a couple of shooting fouls a game, and pretty often one of those will be from three-point land. It's amazing. I mean, the scouting report, everyone, they must know not to reach on this guy, but they still do it. Weird. So with the free throws, the Raptors with a one-point lead, 38-37. All right, just 13 seconds later, the Raptors get a really weird break. Terrence Ross fouling Ersan Ilyasova off the ball, way away from the ball on the weak side. Whistle is blown, but it's just as Jared Dudley is raising up on the other side of the court for about an 18-foot jumper, which he drains. So they immediately count the basket, then they go to the replay and realize that the foul was before Dudley went into the shooting motion. So, no basket. Sweet. And side out of bounds for the Bucks. Raptors get a stop on the possession. They go the other way. Kyle Lowry drains a deep 2. So, 4-point swing there for the Raptors. Well done. 6:30 mark. T. Ross. Lovely play here. Drive, dishes to Amir. Amir not able to finish, but he gets hacked, goes to the line and drains a couple of free throws. And the next Raptor possession, just 32 seconds later, T. Ross, corner 3 ball, and the Raptors with a 6-point lead. Which sounds tiny, but in a ball game like this, 6-point lead feels good. 45-39. Alright, to defense we go. 28 seconds later, after the T. Ross 3, Amir Johnson blocks who? Kenyon Martin. That's right, Kmart is still out there. Signed his second 10-day contract with the Bucks. And Kmart going for the dunk, but Amir from behind erases that. Nice play from Amir. And I'll tell you what, I don't care how old Kenyon Martin is, it is not easy to block that guy coming up for a dunk. I used to call him, I think it was just my own nickname, but I used to call him the Rim Hater. Because back in the day, when he was playing, you know, in the early 2000s, when he was playing with Jason Kidd, who I just realized is now his coach. That's hilarious. But when he was playing with Jason Kidd on the Nets, that guy was an absolutely ferocious dunker. And I'll tell you, there was a few months, maybe even a year plus, where I used to argue that Kenyon Martin was the best player in basketball. I know that might sound crazy to some of you, but when I say the best player in basketball, I'm adding together defense and offense. Just like right now, I call Anthony Davis the best player in basketball. And there was a point where Kenyon Martin could not be stopped on offense, and defensively, he was a nightmare. And I got a few guys on that list that are a lot of people probably wouldn't consider to have been the best player in basketball at some point. Ron Artest was another one. He was the best defender in the league, and he was scoring like 25 a game. I mean, how are you going to beat that? And in fact, that's always my argument for Michael Jordan when anyone says who's the best player of all time. Listen, look, Michael Jordan had one year where he won the scoring title and defensive player of the year. I mean, just, you can't beat that. Or you can't beat, as an individual, there's team records and whatnot, but as an individual, defensive player of the year and scoring title. Booyah. I think that's checkmate. Right, so Kenyon Martin blocked on the dunk. And then, as I was just sort of reminiscing about Kmart in my head, good old Kmart gives me a reason to remember why I appreciated watching him, but I wasn't necessarily a huge fan. and it's at the 325 mark. He's got Griffiths Vasquez on the perimeter, fouls him. Well after the whistle, Vasquez decides he's going to put up a shot, which players do all the time, but Kmart, for some reason, takes offense to that, and he hits him pretty hard on the upper arm and shoulder. So he gets a technical foul for that. DeMar DeRozan, who has not been mentioned, by the way, in this podcast, and you'll hear why later on. DeMar DeRozan to the free throw line, misses that one, right? So misses the technical foul, but the foul put Vasquez to the free throw line. The Bucks were in the penalty, but he misses one out of two. So the Raptors give up a couple of points there, and it's 48-43 Raptors. All right, 2:32 mark. Jonas Valanciunas. Remember him from the first quarter? He's back. Makes a gorgeous play here. Kyle Lowry, with the drive, dumps it over the shoulder to Jonas, who is trailing him. Jonas goes up. He gets blocked from behind, but he sticks with the play, recovers the ball, gets hit on the arm as he elevates, and throws it down, and one. Steps to the line and makes a free throw. Raptors up 8, 51-43. And Lowry, who set up JV before, makes another excellent play here, 1:52 mark. Check it, this was actually a funny little sequence. On the previous trip, Lowry, with the drive in transition, gets blocked hard by Brandon Knight from behind, and Brandon Knight comes down on top of him. So Lowry in a heap on the baseline. All the other nine players get up and break down court. Lowry still down. And he's off camera, so we don't know if he's hurt or if he's getting back up. The Bucks start swinging it around the perimeter. And then instant karma. Lowry shows back up in the picture just as the ball is being swung to Brandon Knight in the left corner. Lowry just steps up, rips it from him, and goes on a one-man fast break and hits the contested layup from the right side. Nice work from the point guard. And the Raptors, with that, a 10-point lead, 53-43. The Bucks also doing the Raptors a favor. They miss 5 out of 6 free throws. 5 consecutive. 2 of them by Ilyasova and 3 by Zaza Pachulia. So the Raptors, with that, a 9-point lead going into halftime. And the big man of the half, Jonas Valanciunas, with a double-double. 11 points and 11 rebounds. Way to do it, big man. T. Ross off the bench, leading the team in scoring with 12. So that little ride on the pine definitely seemed to wake him up a little bit. Now, a couple of weird things to note. DeMar DeRozan, no points. Donut in that first half. Unbelievable, but the Raptors still with a 9-point lead. And another thing I noticed, didn't hit me until halftime. Where was James Johnson? No James Johnson. I mean, when I go to do this podcast, I really look forward to pointing out the incredible James Johnson plays. At least there's at least one or two a game. No JJ. Didn't get an injury report. So more on that after the game. Third quarter we go. Just a terrible play here to start the half. Check this out. After a scramble, Kyle Lowry and Giannis Antetokounmpo have to do a jump ball in the Bucks end. So, obviously, Lowry is not going to be winning a jump ball with the Greek Freak. But the Raptors do not man up properly, and just as the ball is being thrown up, Brandon Knight breaks on the play, and Antetokounmpo just spikes it, like volleyball spikes it, down court, like a nice bounce pass to Knight, who picks it up and throws it down. So, a little confusion there on defense for the Raptors, but aside from that, they made some pretty solid adjustments, and the D for the next couple of minutes looked really nice, punctuated at the 9:08 mark by Kyle Lowry, stepping up and drawing a charge on Knight as he was cutting through the paint. Didn't even have the ball yet, but Lowry read the play, and just as Knight received the pass, Lowry was there to cut him off. So that's the good news. But the bad news is the offense was horrific. I'm talking absolutely drop-dead terrible. And you've heard me talk in the last couple of podcasts about some bad Raptor offense. This was the worst. 2 points, right? I think we just had a Griffiths Vasquez jumper in the first 5.5 minutes. So no free throws, no offensive rebounds, putbacks, nothing like that. Just a Vasquez jumper, and that's it. 2 points in the first 5.5 minutes. Luckily for the Raptors, the Bucks, they had 5 turnovers, and they only had 6 points in that same stretch. So the score was 55-50, with 6.5 minutes left to go in the third. And then the Raptors, over the next 3 minutes. Catch a little bit of fire from deep. 6:18 mark, Kyle Lowry at right wing 3, and then Lou Williams with a pair of them at the 4:11 mark and the 2:25 mark. The second one to beat the shot clock. Nice work from Sweet Lou, and that gave the Raptors an 8-point lead, 66-58. Or jump to the 109 mark. Bit of a swing here, T. Ross to the line, missing two straight free throws. Both of them long bricks. The Bucks grab the rebound, come back the other way, and they hit O.J. Mayo, cutting back door for the layup. Lead down to 4, 66-62. And then a really weird play. With 15.5 seconds to go in the quarter, Bucks with possession. They're dribbling it out for the final shot, and Jason Kidd gets a technical foul for arguing the previous possession down. On the previous possession, Patrick Patterson hit a jumper. It kind of looked like he had charged Ilyasova, but on the replay, he clearly did not. It was just a big flop. But Jay Kidd was arguing that. He gets a technical foul. So Griffiths Vasquez goes to the line, misses the free throw. So the Raptors again don't take advantage of the technical free throw. And the Raptors up 6, 68-62, going into the fourth. So low scoring affair here. The Bucks start out the fourth quarter with authority. John Henson, who's a talented player, he's got kind of a baby face, so he doesn't look that intimidating. But dude is long and he's talented. Seen him make some smart plays and some fairly athletic plays that are surprising. He's long. Dude kind of knows what he's doing out there. So Henson with the and one layup and Ersan Ilyasova with a fast break dunk, and suddenly the Raptor lead is down to 1, 68-67. But 1 minute into the quarter, we get a huge play by Lou Williams and Griffiths Vasquez. Lou rebounding his own miss, spots Vasquez on the left wing, hits him with a pass, and Vasquez draining the three ball. Raptors with a 4-point lead, 71-67. But the Bucks had a weapon. Ersan Ilyasova decides to break us off some for the next few minutes. He has an offensive rebound and a putback, a couple of free throws in just 30 seconds, by the way. That ties up the game at 71. Kyle Lowry tries to answer back. He drains a deep two in Ilyasova's face, by the way. Ilyasova with a good challenge, but Lowry with the make. And the next play, Lowry with the defensive rebound. He leads the break and finds T. Ross for the reverse layup. So Raptors maintaining the lead, but Ilyasova still going. 8:54 mark. He hits a turnaround bank shot, and the Raptor lead is 2, 75-73. And that's 8 straight for Ilyasova, by the way, for the Bucks. All right, we'll jump 2 minutes and 4 seconds to the 6:40 mark. O.J. Mayo with the triple. And guess what, folks? The Bucks have taken the lead off of that, 76-65. So again, the Raptors with a fourth quarter lead, they give it all back and then some. 15 seconds after that, the Raptors on offense. Whistle goes. Bucks, defensive 3 seconds. Technical foul. Kyle Lowry to the line, misses the free throw. The third technical free throw in the game that the Raptors have missed. Unbelievable. Still, the Raptors have possession. Lowry with the drive, and then he gets rejected badly by Henson on the play. Luckily, it was so badly that it went out of bounds, so the Raptors hang on. And Amir does an amazing job here. The Raptors inbound. They get it to Amir with about 2 seconds to go. He's about 28 feet from the basket. He's able to put up a very awkward shot, which catches front rim. The Raptors get the offensive rebound. Amir cuts to the basket, and they hit him with the pass, and he goes up for the layup. So nice work by Amir to not only save a shot clock violation, but to get us the points as well. Big. In the second, you know, in the latter stages here of this game. 5:25 mark, Kyle Lowry doing some work here. He gets penetration. Ersan Ilyasova tries to draw the charge, but Lowry sneaks around him, throws it up with the left hand, rolls it in off the rim and glass, and one. Raptors with a 2-point lead with the made free throw, 80-78. I'm going to be calling it all from here because it got tight. 4:40 mark, Amir Johnson with a difficult running hook. I mean, he makes it look easy, but geez, they're such tough shots. It's a running hook in traffic. Raptors up 4, 82-78. And then Lowry, you know, I got to give him credit. He does this a lot in clutch situations. Steps up, draws another charge, this time on Jared Bayless at the 4:11 mark. Big play there. Raptors come down on offense, and at the 340 mark, Lowry again with the penetration, spins in the paint, throws up the hook shot, and drains it. 84-78. That capped a 7-0 run for the Raptors, which normally I wouldn't even mention a 7-0 run, but in a ball game like that, it's almost like a 12-0 run. The big plays there coming down the stretch. 221 mark. Lou Williams with the defense. OJ Mayo had dribbled in too deep, tried to swing it out to the top. Lou read it, got the interception. He goes all the way in for the fast break layup. However, it was well challenged, and he misses. But Patrick Patterson comes flying in for the putback throwdown. Huge play. The Raptors up 5, 86-81. Brandon Knight comes back 41 seconds later. He drains a couple of free throws. 86-83, one possession game. 121 mark, Kyle Lowry tries to answer, gets all the way to the rim, but just misses the finger roll. It rims out for him. Brandon Knight scoops it up, and he flies down the other way in transition, and he does not make a mistake. Finishes with a fast break layup, and the lead again down to 1, 86-85. 21 seconds later, a huge play here. Amir Johnson gets fouled, goes to the free throw line, makes the first, misses the second, but Tupat is there for the offensive rebound. He gets fouled going up with it. Huge play. Unfortunately, Tupat only makes one out of two, but still, that's one more than we would have had. And the Raptors are up 3, 88-85. For about 10 seconds, because at the 49.8 second mark, Chris Middleton with a layup lead again, cut down to 1, 88-87, clearly going down to the absolute wire. And here we go, 26.4 seconds to go. Huge play here by basically the whole team. Lou Williams on the left wing, double teamed, looking like it might be a turnover. He's going out of bounds. He elevates, gets it to Amir Johnson, who's about 30 feet away, straight away. Amir with the behind the back dribble to an eluded defender, swings it over to Tupat to his right. Tupat swings it down to T. Ross, who's on the right corner, and T. Ross thinks better of launching the three ball. He takes one dribble, gets to about 17 feet away, elevates, drains the silky smooth jumper. Huge shot there by T. Ross. However, Brandon Knight flies back the other way, answers with a layup, but get this, T. Ross, he broke on the play. Amir Johnson inbounds it to Lowry, and Lowry holds the ball for a good 2 seconds before he looks up and spots T. Ross, who's for some reason ahead of the Bucks defense. I don't know what they were doing. And Lowry whips a chest pass to him from deep inside the Raptor key. And T. Ross receives it just inside the three-point line on the Bucks end, and he goes in for the open dunk. So a combination of a nice play by T. Ross and some terrible defense. And with that, the Raptors have a three-point lead with 15 seconds to go. And personally, I was thinking I would foul here in this situation. I know the Bucks aren't the best three-point shooting team, but this is the NBA. And I don't want to give them a chance to tie it. I would trust my guys, even though they've been shooting bad free throws. I would trust them to win a free throw shooting competition with a three-point lead with 15 seconds to go. Raptors decide not to. The Bucks work it around to Brandon Knight. He gets a wide open look at a three-pointer. Misses the three. Raptors get the rebound. It winds up in Lowry's hand. He gets fouled with about 6 seconds to go. So Lowry goes to the line. He just needs to make one to make it a two-possession game. The Bucks are out of timeouts, so basically one make, and that's your ball game. Lowry steps up, misses the first, takes a couple of dribbles, takes aim, misses the second. So Lowry again in the clutch when it comes time to put them away, not able to come up with the goods. God, that's gotta hurt. So Lowry misses. And the Bucks have a chance to tie it up. OJ Mayo scoops it up, and luckily for the Raptors, he just loses it on the drive, just as he got across half court into some traffic, wasn't able to hang on to it, and the Raptors with an ugly win. They pick up the three-point W, 92-89. Ugh. I'll tell you, it was a very unsatisfying victory. Did not feel good. Raptors did not play well. They made a few clutch plays, but took advantage of some mistakes, and then Lowry not able to put it away at the end. That hurt. That really hurt. And you know, I mean, I gotta say for Lowry, I mean, that's, I mean, I gotta give him credit for still having the mindset to take that shot. But, I mean, that's rough, man. That's rough. I mean, how many free throws do you take as a professional? And then you have a chance. How many times in your life do you have a chance to seal a game with free throws? And you step up and miss two. Ow. And Coach Casey said after the game, they're going to be working on free throws because the Raptors missed a ton in this one. I'll get to that in the box score. And by the way, Coach Casey, I was a little bit annoyed with him. He in the postgame thing, he said they deserved to win. They did not deserve to win this ballgame. No way did the Raptors deserve to win this ballgame. Against any other team, pretty much, they would have lost this one. They did not play well enough to win. I'll go over the team stats later on. And you know what I didn't understand? In fact, you know what? Let me talk about the box score. Check this out. Jonas Valanciunas, 11 points, 13 rebounds. You know how many minutes he had? 19. He barely played in the second half. He had a double-double in the first half. No Jonas. So strange. And then James Johnson, I go to the box score, expecting to see some type of injury, says DNPCD. Did not play coach's decision. That can't be right. That cannot be right. There cannot be a reason why James Johnson wouldn't get into this game. Don't give me matchups. I don't want to hear it. There's no way that James Johnson, I mean, he would outmatch most players. You can't tell me that there was matchup issues. So luckily for Coach Casey, Tupat came up huge. Tupat in 26 minutes, 13 rebounds, 7 points on 3 of 4 shooting. So props to him. And T. Ross, solid ball game, 7 of 12, 16 points, 5 rebounds. Lowry, again, struggling big time. And I don't understand it. I mean, Leo and Sherman and Matt gave him the player of the game. He did take over at certain stretches, but he was 8 of 25. 8 of 25, 1 of 9 from 3, only 5 dimes. Oh, no, sorry, only 3 assists. 5 rebounds, 18 points for Lowry. Led the team in scoring, but that's not going to work. And the big thing that stood out for me, DeMar DeRozan in 26 minutes, 0 of 9 from the field. 0 of 1 from the free throw line. A donut for DeRozan in this ballgame. No points. I realize he's coming off injury, and this is his second game in a couple of days, or in a back-to-back, but wow. Nothing for DeMar. He still managed to be a plus 6 out there somehow, though. It's hilarious. And the Raptors wind up, you know, the Raptors with a bunch of players who were at exactly 0. Lou Williams, Terrence Ross, Tyler Hansbrough, Jonas Valanciunas, all completely even on the plus minus. That's unusual. Don't see that too often. And then on the Bucks side, they didn't really get much either. Brandon Knight, 7 of 21. He had 20 points for them. Nobody really stood out. They kind of played poorly. But check this out. The Raptors, I mean, does this sound like they deserve to win? 40% from the field. Okay. 6 of 24 from three-point land for 25%. And then this is the ugliest of them all. 14 of 24 from the free throw line. Left 10 points on the board. 58%. Right, the only winning number that the Raptors had was the rebounds. They had 54 rebounds to 43 for the Bucks. But the Bucks beat them on assists, 22-17. They had more steals, 12-9. Same amount of blocks, 5-5. And the Bucks with one more turnover than the Raptors at 16-15. Luckily for the Raptors, the Bucks also left 9 points on the table from the free throw line. They shot 16 of 25. And they only shot 5 of 18 from three-point land. But really, I mean, they make one more of those threes. This game is tied. And a couple of those free throws, which they normally would make. And that's lights out for the Raptors. So not a good game from my perspective. I hope that no one is feeling from the Raptors side that they did well in this one. Because they did not. This was not good. We had Jonas play really well. We had Tupat play really well. Lou gave us some good minutes as well. But overall, still a lot of stuff to work on. Yikes. All right, so the Raptors with that, though, the good news is the Raptors, after the Bulls, they just watched the Bulls get absolutely stomped by the Cavaliers yesterday. Not having Joakim Noah makes a big difference for them. They get blasted. And so that means that the Raptors are alone in third place. 6.5 games behind Atlanta. They just continue to win. They've won 13 in a row. Yikes. And Washington's won a couple in a row. So Washington 5 games back of Atlanta. Raptors 6.5 games back. So Atlanta looking like they are getting themselves in separation. 34-8. And that doesn't even put them at number one spot in the league. Golden State at 33-6. Jeez. And you know what? I just realized, even as good as they're playing, that shows you how great the Jordan's Bulls were. They finished 72-10. Nobody's on pace to come close to that anymore. Golden State, you know, you lose one game, now they're on pace to be, well, to have like 12 or 13 losses, which is still pretty amazing. But the Raptors, yeah, improved to 27-14. We will take that. And we got Memphis Grizzlies in a couple of days in Memphis. That should be a tough one. So hopefully we get a little bit of rest here. Work on our free throws. Come back strong. All right, I don't mean to be so angry. Raptors did win this ball game, so I should be a bit happier. All right. Wow, this was a ridiculously long podcast. If you're still listening, props to you. You're a true diehard. All right, thanks for checking this one out. I'll be back with you on Thursday. Peace.